God is good. Was Polly says in class when we were down at Holy Land Experience. If you haven't been there, you need to go. If you have been there, it will be different the next time. We found out, as we took John Paul and Glenna, thinking, well, you know, we'll go, and it was good, so we don't mind seeing it again. But it was different. They keep changing it. So that's a good thing. It will be, it's something that's really amazing down there. And the idea of the feast, does anybody know the feast we're in now? Now, we had feast last week. What feast are we in as we speak? Tabernacles, which is what? A feast of tents, which is remembering how good God has been since last Yom Kippur, how he has blessed you. The Canadians almost have it right. They had Thanksgiving was the 9th in Canada, which is right in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's what Thanksgiving is supposed to be, reminding us how good God is. And if you remember, that's the whole purpose of when we come together, we have this blessing time, because it says, forsake not the gathering together, even more so as you see the day approaching, for the building up, the edifying. How are people built up? By, I mean, just hearing, cars are fixed. You know, accidents are avoided. Change turns into book bags, which can change lives. Stepping out in faith. And we need to understand that God does know what he's doing. We read it every week, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. We need to move it from reading to believing it. I was praying with Dave Powell one day, and we were sitting in the vehicle praying. He says, please pray for healing for me. I said, I refuse to pray for healing for you. And he said, excuse me? I said, you don't need a healing, you need a revealing. Yeah. We need to see that by his stripes we were healed. We need to see God for who he is and how much he loves us and what he's willing to do for us. Tabernacles teaches us. I mean, think about this, Sonnet. Last year you didn't have a car to get fixed. As Jennifer said, last year Jay wasn't on a father-son weekend. And there are many fathers who last year had a son and don't have them this year to go on a weekend. So we need to remember how good God, and something, look, family vacations are good. You know, they are good. But there's something about one-on-one. Why is Chrysalis or Emmaus so effective? Because it boils it down to one. And a long time ago, Carol and I were talking many, many years ago, and I told her, if you study Scripture, you will see that God always boils it down to one. To save Israel, Joseph. To rebuild the wall, one. Yeah. To save Nineveh, to start a mission program. Yeah. When we wanted to start, remember, we had no clue how many book bags to start with. But it had to start, people. It always has to start with one. It always, and you are the one. Yeah. You are the person God wants to use. That's why we're going through the book of Acts. Because as John Paul said a couple weeks ago with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, if you go over to Africa, one eunuch. There are still many churches. See, it doesn't matter who else comes on board. Yeah. Can you imagine if Paul said, yeah, I'm not going unless the other 11 go with me. We would have no writings. Because don't expect the church. Yeah. God, he's not calling the church. We talked again Thursday evening, just the Reader's Digest version of the Rice missionary. But the idea was one person. That's all it took to feed thousands of people. One person. And so we want to get that concept. Feast of Tabernacles is not how has God blessed Promised Land. How has God blessed me over the past year? How has God blessed me? Yeah. Then when you think about that, yeah, you start saying, my goodness, I can hardly wait for the upcoming year. Because what God always does, at least what I've seen, is he increases. If you're faithful over a little, to him I will give much. To him I will give much. You want bigger blessings? Be thankful for what you have. He will never give you more. Why should he? I have a car, but yeah, it runs on half prayer and half gasoline. Yeah. Praise God I have a car. And you know what? It's the only one that runs on half prayer and half. It's a hybrid. If I don't pray, it don't run. Yeah. It's a different way of looking at things. Yeah. Praise God for what you have. And he will increase. And that's what God is trying to teach the church in the book of Acts. So let's bow our heads as we move forward. Father, we just want to praise your name. And Father, it's no different than any other week. Nothing we have to say is worth putting out there. We have come to hear what you have to say. So Father, annihilate the servant. Resurrect yourself, your son, and your spirit. So that your son might be lifted up. So that your spirit may be poured out. So that you can be glorified. We thank you for hearing. We thank you for answering. In Jesus' name, through the Spirit's power and for your glory, we thank you. Amen. We're in Acts chapter 10. Boils it down to one. Acts chapter 10 says, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. At about 3 p.m, he distinctly saw a vision of an angel of God who came in and said to him, Cornelius. Looking intently at him, he became afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he told him, your prayers and your acts of charity have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. he is lodging. See, God doesn't make it simple. Which Simon? The one lodging with Simon. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, he called two of his household slaves and a devout soldier who was one of those who attended him. After explaining everything to them, he sent them. Where did he send them to? Where have you heard about Joppa? Yeah, you're right. Who went to Joppa? Jonah. Running away from God, one man, ministers to a ship from Joppa. Evidently, they got something on that trip from God. Because this is where now Peter is. You know, just a few years later, he's in Joppa. He's the same place one prophet of God runs away to. God sends somebody because of the seed sown by Jonah. See, even when you're messing up, God can use broken and messed up things to his glory. Because Jonah was not doing God's will. Jonah, God said, go to Nineveh. Instead, he goes to Joppa. And somehow, these men on that ship must have told something. Because now, here's God's man, Peter, in Joppa. And he sends Cornelius. It says the next day they were traveling and nearing the city. Peter went up. Understand what's going to happen here is not about diet. It's not about doctrine. What you're about to see is that when needed, God will get his point across to you. People say, how will I know? Well, I remember a few political campaigns ago, one of the presidential candidates said, what are they, stuck on stupid? Well, sometimes Christians, we are. We just don't get it. We just don't get it. And so what we try to do, we try to take something that God sends us a message, and we want to make it about what we can and can't eat, where we can and can't go, what we can and can't wear. But God's saying, look, this is for Peter. I need to get to Peter. How do you talk to a devout Jew who won't talk to anybody who's not a Jew? Now, Peter is successful as an evangelist. He had already preached. I'm saying he's successful. You judge. He preached in 3,000. You know, were converted. I'd call that rather successful. When was the last time you heard an evangelist speak in 3,000? That day, were baptized. Well, first off, they'd have to speak 24 times before they could be baptized. And then agree with. But so here's Peter. He's on the housetop at about noon. Then he became hungry. And he wanted to eat. But while they were preparing something, he went into vision. He saw heaven open and an object coming down resembling a large sheet being lowered to the earth by its four corners. In it were all the four-footed animals, all the reptiles of the earth, and all the birds of the sky. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, Peter said, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Again, a second time, a voice said to him, what God has made clean, you must not call unclean. This happened three times. Then the object was taken up. Now Peter is here, and see, some people will use that and say, that means we can eat whatever we want. Why? Because we want to do whatever we want. It's not about eating. It's not about eating. How do I know that? Because they were already preparing something for Peter to eat. God did not have to send Peter a meal. That was already being done for him. And I'll guarantee you it was kosher because of where he was staying. So he was having a kosher meal. God wants to get something across to you. The problem is, when God wants to get something across to us, we don't like what God wants to get across to us. What did John Paul say? Go. But go. You know, I can't speak. Go. Go. See, God's only message here isn't in the sheet. It's not in what's in the sheet. It's not about what you eat. It's about your feet. Where are they going to go? But you know, if I go over here, you know those people don't sing like us. They, woo! Yeah. You know those people don't dress like us. And you know, Ian, how those books could influence you? The same thing can happen if you associate with the wrong kind of people, like non-Christians, kind of like, or even Christians. Peter, do you really want to hang out with Italians? I mean, let's face it, Peter. They killed your Savior because the Jews couldn't. Rome was who crucified him. They can pass it away however they want. And who was that other Italian guy? Oh, Peter. What was his name? Damascus Road. Remember? Paul was Roman. So Peter's not wanting to hear this. And he and Paul are not bosom buddies. So while Peter was deeply perplexed about what the vision he had seen might mean, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having asked directions to Simon's house, stood at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was also named Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit told him, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and accompany them with no doubts at all, because I have sent them. Wasn't about the sheet. It was about his feet. Then Peter went down to the men and said, here I am, the one you are looking for. What is the reason you are here? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who has a good reputation and with the whole Jewish nation. Does that matter? Is that really going to matter? Did you ever notice? Peter already had his orders. Sometimes when we already have our orders, we think, do people really have to encourage me? You know, one of the things that really used to bug me in a past life, in a former ministry, they'd say, you know, you have to encourage people. If you don't encourage them, They'll give up. And I remember saying to the fellow who said that to me, he said, I believe my ministry is going to be the ministry of affirmation. And I said to the person, I said, you know, praise God he's given you that. Here's how I affirm people. I remember if I wanted people after we had been on a mission to feel better about it, I'd say, you're alive. Okay, now let's look at what we're going to do next. That should be enough, people. You want affirmation? You're alive. God wouldn't give you something to do if he didn't trust you. He must really love you. I know some of you have heard me say that. To trust you with what he's given you. He must really love you. That's affirmation. You don't need my affirmation. If I say, well done, Tyler, that and a dollar will get him, it won't even get you a drink at 7. It'll get you a bottle of water that you could get free at home. But when God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that means something. How do I know? Because he says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Lay up for yourselves book bags for West Virginia. Lay up for yourselves Bibles for Tanzania. Yeah. Lay up for yourselves that you can take to the bank, people. When God says, well done, when I say, well done, that's like, you know, I used to have a chief who would say, well, that's worth two attaboys and a old Navy word. Two attaboys. And that's all it's worth. When God says, have you considered my servant Job? One. Boiled it down to one. Cornelius, he's saying to Peter, Peter didn't need to hear all that. It doesn't matter what Cornelius had done. What matters is Peter was being sent. That's what matters. Peter then invited them and gave them lodging. The next day they got up and they set out. People, don't hesitate. Because if you think about it, I was kind of disappointed before John Paul went to Tanzania. He was going to come down and spend the week with us. But he didn't. He came down the day before he left. Thank you, Jesus. Because if he had been there longer, and I had thought about it, I don't know. What did John Paul say? Go. He's speaking from experience. But. Go. 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 God always, if promised land doesn't take book bags to West Virginia, you know, there are 1,000 other churches he wants to bless. And he'll do it through allowing them to do what he's asked us to do. We're not the only people he has. We're just his favorite. Feast of Tabernacles. I know he loves everybody. I know that. But people, does he send all of his children to Disney in October or September and then November and then in April? Why me? There used to be a song, Teacher's Pet. I just want to be the teacher's pet.
He can't help himself. If you obey, I'm telling you, wasn't it Bill Gaither who wrote the song, "I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again"? He can't help himself. Peter was blessed because he was obedient. He didn't make it about the sheet. He didn't make it about what was in the sheet. That's what he thought. But as soon as God made it clear, because further down you'll see that Cornelius, he says, "God has shown me that I'm not supposed to say anybody is unclean. Anybody. It's not about the sheet. It's not about what's in the sheet. It's about God's will. Are you willing to do what..." The sheet was nothing more than an attention getter. That's all. "Now that I have your attention, let me instruct you." There was nothing really about the sheet. There was good stuff in the sheet, bad stuff in the sheet, but it got his attention. And when you don't understand something, see, my dream with the snakes in Vietnam, you know, that was to get my attention. That's all that was, to get my attention. After he got my attention, would I be obedient? That's the thing. Because, you know, you're thinking, "God, I have 22 years invested in this. How do you know? If he has to, he'll get wake Eli up in the middle of the night, sit him up in bed, and have him speaking in whatever he was speaking, and Carol watching him as he's doing it, to tell him, "Now is the time, Eli. If you don't believe me, ask Eli." It happened to him. "If you don't believe me, ask Aaron. He was healed of asthma. You know why Christy has a clear, her lungs are clear? Residual blessing. From who she hangs with? Hang with somebody who had asthma. They're clean. Maybe it can overflow. Overflow." God wants us to be obedient, people. The world wants us to focus on everything the world has to offer. Everything. He wants us to get all these messages. God says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Focus on me. It's about me." You hear kids say that in a joking way. Jessica says that all the time, you know, joking. "Oh, it is about me." No, that's what Jesus says. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. Go. It's about me. "4 days ago," in verse 30, Cornelius replied, "4 days ago at this hour, at 3 p.m, I was praying in my house. Just then, a man in a dazzling robe stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your acts of charity have been remembered in God's sight. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and invite Simon here, who is also named Peter.'" Notice he didn't forget what he was told. Somehow, I'll guarantee you, Eli didn't forget what he saw. I know he didn't, because he's told several people. You know, there's some things you don't forget.
some things that are written with indelible ink on your mind. By this house by the sea, Simon the Tanner's house. Therefore, I immediately sent for you and did the right, and you did the right thing in coming. So we are all present before God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord. And Peter then began to speak. In truth, I understand that God doesn't show favoritism. You know, I do when I say I'm his favorite, understand that is joking. Although he does bless me. But in every nation, the person who fears him and does righteousness is acceptable to him. He sent the message to the sons of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace and through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know the events that took place throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went about doing good and curing all who were under the tyranny of the devil because God was with him. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did in both Judea, the Judean country, and in Jerusalem. Yet they killed him, hanging him on a tree. God raised up this man on the third day and permitted him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us, witnesses appointed beforehand by God, who ate and drank with him. After he rose from the dead, he commanded us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And the prophets, all the prophets testified about him, that through his name, everyone, belief is not enough, people. Belief is not enough. Everyone who believes and receives. See, I can believe my car will take me to Lynchburg today. But unless I get in it and go, guess what? You can believe Jesus can provide your every need. You can believe Jesus can heal your asthma. But you have to receive it. People ask me, why are you so blessed? God can't help himself. Here's why I'm blessed. I receive it. I receive it. He wants to give me something? Thank you, Jesus. That was hard. Yeah. When you like to give, sometimes it's hard to receive. Are you deserving? I'll tell you all right now. Y'all deserve it more than me. You just won't receive it. I will. To those that are willing, he gives. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Did you receive the email from John Paul? I don't know if everybody got it or we got it. They had a meeting and John Paul prayed. He said, oh God. Now, nobody understood what he was saying except the interpreter, and the interpreter never said anything. He said, oh God, please, this was early on, let the Spirit
fall on this place the way it fell at Pentecost. He said, and immediately the whole place, people started jumping around and shouting and laughing. He said, and it went on for a long time. I don't remember if it was an hour or 3 hours. He said, they just kept it up. They just kept it up. And he was astounded that God did what he asked him to do. But it taught him a lesson. Receive it. Ask it and receive it. That's what's happening here. They were astounded. For they heard them speaking in other languages and declaring the greatness of God. Then Peter responded, can anyone withhold water and prevent these from being baptized? Let me translate that. He who is without sin cast the first stone. And prevent these from being baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. Yeah. It sounds like it's so anti-climactic. Will you stay around a few days? In other words, can't we just save this moment? You know, kind of like a Kodak moment. You know, can't we just save it? No, you can't. Because now you are to take what you receive and go thou and do likewise. Peter was obedient. And Peter was amazed. Everybody is amazed. The idea is, people, I don't know, like John Paul, I don't know what he's going to ask you to do. Book bags wasn't my idea. But I remember telling Eli, you know what happens when Kay and Carol get an idea? We're going to work. Yeah. We know what it means when God speaks to them. We know what it means. It's more work for us. But people, God wants to do it. I don't know how he wants to do it to you. Through music? Through art? Yeah. Coming through Lynchburg this week, I saw a billboard. And it was a paintbrush. A red artist paintbrush. And it said, gorgeous redhead looking for aspiring artist. And I thought to myself, that's God. He's the master artist. And he's looking for paintbrushes to paint a picture. Paint a smile on a child in West Virginia. Paint a man that's willing to reach out to a leper's hand and shake it. Paint somebody who just walks in and says, you know, I wouldn't have anything to eat in my house if it wasn't for. Yeah. It should be reversed. Aspiring artist looking for brushes. What are you going to allow him to paint? Just place yourself in his hand. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Because sometimes my art appreciation teacher, he did his doctorate in paint. He didn't write a dissertation, he painted it. The only person who ever did that painted his dissertation. And so he would mix everything all up and I'd say, what in the world is he going to do with something that looks like that? But when it went on the canvas, oh my goodness, it was gorgeous. It doesn't matter how mixed up your life looks or how ugly it looks.
or even what it looks like to others. Wait till he gets finished with it, people. Unbelievable. The detail. Yeah, the detail. Yeah. I think of that often when I think of Scott and how he starts a painting. Yeah. You look at it, and he'll say, you say, do you know where I started? Where would you start? Well, one artist may start at the foot. One artist, on that one, I remember him talking, he said, I started with the eye. And then they did everything around the eye. I would have never thought that. It doesn't matter that. What matters is, what's the product like when it's done? Yeah. He just wants you to kind of brush up to humanity. Come alongside, be in his hand, and allow him to do, what did Peter say? All those who were with him were astounded. Wait a second, I know Jim Price. That's right, this is what I painted with him. I know Polly, yeah. This is what, I know it's wordy, but this is what I painted with her. As you notice, Polly's is expandable, and you can stretch it in many different directions. Think about it, and it's constantly changing. God wants to do it with you, to you. Are you willing to let him? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we realize that, like Peter, it's not about the sheet, it's not about the food, it's about what we're willing to do. Go. It's about our hearing. When God says, go, what he wants to do, I'll guarantee you, even as Peter was going to Cornelius' house, he had no idea that the finished product would be a canvas painted like the upper room with people getting full of the Holy Spirit. He was just gone on a missionary journey. But God used that brush we call Peter to paint the picture he wanted. And he wants to do that with each and every one of us, all, Father. Allow us to be brushes in the master artist's hand to do what you want done, to glorify yourself. Accomplish it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You've heard it in song. You've heard it in speech. And now he's going to declare it to you again. For I know what I want to put on the canvas. I know the plans that I have. I know the way it's supposed to look when I'm finished. I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. My plans are to create a masterpiece. Not refrigerator art, although that's good, but something that will hang in the Louvre. My plans are for your welfare and not for your disaster. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. Once you accept yourself in my hands and allow me to paint what I want to on your canvas, you will call on me and you will come and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. When you submit to me, when you search for me, when you accept me with all your heart.